Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We get to pick back up our study of the book of Colossians. As you go there, I want to remind us where we have been. We have seen mostly that which has to do with the doctrinal side of the book. A lot of doctrine has been put forth in the first couple of chapters and into this third one. And what we're seeing now is we're looking at the practical side of the book, which is how Paul seems to write his epistles. You'll have doctrinal, then you'll have practical. Why? Well, because it's hard to practice that which you don't understand. You know, if you look in the mirror sometimes, you're going to find that you're going to feel a little bit faint in your heart at this calling that we've been given to be God's children in real time, to live as if we are uniquely His children. We are a unique people, just like Israel was a unique people in the midst of the nations in the Old Testament. And God has sprinkled us into this world as salt. We're supposed to withstand the decay of the nation, okay, and of the world in which we live. We're supposed to bring a savoring effect to the world. And sometimes we feel a little bit inadequate to the task. But the practical does follow on the heels of the doctrinal. And he's been talking to a people who've been caught up in two extremes. The extreme of angel worship, which would lead to a licentious kind of a thing. And then the other extreme is of the legalistic things, where the Jews were coming in and saying, this is how things should be and how you all should be behaving. And they were trying to make them more Jewish, even though they were a Gentile people. Now, I want you to know that as we come to this practical thing, I don't think it is without significance that when Paul talks about the practical, one of the first things he usually addresses is the home. The hardest place to be a Christian sometimes is at home, because we sometimes mess up at home and finally we just say, love me, love my dog, you know, or whatever. That's just the way I am. I ain't going to change now. And some of you have the refrain in your brain. It's, if you don't know me by now, you ain't never going to know me at all. There's an old song like that. We want to hit that note over and over again. But the fact is that we're supposed to be getting more like Jesus as we go along. The only way that's going to happen is if we learn how to extend grace one to another. Because if you begin to hold each other's feet to the fire on every nuance of their character, you're going to forget about your own. Isn't that true? I mean, we all have our issues. We all have our stuff. We need to learn how to grow in grace. And as we come to chapter 3, we're going to let our eye fall into it a little ways down to about verse 18. But I don't want you to forget what he has said before that. He talks in verse 12 about forbearing and bearing with one another, forgiving one another. You see that in verse 12? You've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn how to bear with one another. All of us are sinners. When a marriage is put together, it is two sinners trying to come together and make something that's heavenly. That's difficult. That is a difficult task. But it's not impossible if we will cultivate the graces. The other thing he says is in verse 17, I want you to see, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so what we're seeing is that we're not just going through motions here. We have a mandate, we have direction, and we've been given it from God. And so I've entitled the message this morning, Housekeeping. Because what we're looking at really is out of the gate in the practical side of this epistle is he's dealing with the home, which is basically the first institution of God. We live today where everything is up for grabs. Definition of marriage, definition of home, definition of gender. It is all crazy town out there. But you and I know we have a word from on high. And I think with the extremes we're seeing outside the walls of the church, we begin to realize that it's very important how we discharge our responsibility in the church and in the home. And so this is why we're here today emphasizing that, because I think there's a problem in our country. We have a tendency to forget where it is we're coming from when we go into our world. I do a little bit of work around my home, and sometimes I'll do things here at the church and fixing things. I enjoy it. I enjoy fixing things. But I really get a little nervous when I start messing with electricity. I have a friend who I grew up with, and he's an electrician now. He's got his own company. We have him do work here sometimes. And one day I was telling him, I'm going to do this. What do you think? I'm going to do this. He says, yeah, I think you got the right idea. He said this. He says, just don't get any on you. Don't get any electricity on you. I'm like, okay, that's a good way of putting it, because it's nothing like getting shocked when you're sticking a screwdriver inside of a socket. You know, turn it off, okay, is what they would say. But I want you to know it's hard for us not to get a little bit of this world on us. Isn't that true? We kind of mimic our world. Somebody has said, life imitates art, and today art is out of control in our TVs, our movies, our songs. And so I want you to realize that it is not uncommon to come across a situation that I heard about this past week. And that situation was a couple had been married for 50 years, and the guy was sitting there all content within himself. He's been married 50 years. He's feeling real good about that. And all of a sudden, 50 years later, after marrying this wonderful gal, all of a sudden, for the first time, it dawns on him that she's been pretty all right. She's been pretty all right. And so they've been married 50 years, and he thought, I need to say something nice to her. After all, we're coming up on our anniversary. And he thought, I know what I'll say. And he says, honey, he says, I just want you to know, we've been married for 50 years, 50 years. And he says, I've found you to be tried and true. I've found you to be tried and true. Well, they're quite old now. She can't hear very well. She said, huh? What? He said, we've been married 50 years, and I found you to be tried and true. Huh? Tried and true. He's getting angry. Tried and true. He's saying it louder. Tried and true. She said, yeah, I'm kind of tired of you too. Now, doesn't that illustrate the way it is? Guys think everything's well and good. The girl's sitting over there thinking, this is crazy. The women many times will be the one to ask if you think the marriage is going well, because the women see all kinds of things in the marriage and in the events of the home where guys many times don't have a clue. I'm sorry, it's true. Guys don't have a clue. And what we're seeing in the passage before us is it's kind of reflective of that truth. Would you look at it with me? Let your eye fall into the chapter down to verse 18, Colossians chapter 3. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now we're going to stop there, but that's not the extent of the family, because there's going to be some fatherhood issues going to be dealt with. There's going to be some servants and masters relationships. That was all within the house of the days this was written. But the wives and the husbands and the children, that's something we all are appreciating. And I'm going to try to be very circumspect about how I share with you on this topic. It is very difficult when the world is coming unglued and when you see so much bad out there not to allow oneself to become cynical. In other words, it's hard not to become, categorically minded. We think all women, all men. You know, women today have been many times taught a refrain. Men are animals. Men are jerks. Same thing with men. Many times men are thinking all women are this and all women are that. And it's really not right. It's not true. And yet we tend to allow ourselves to say things without the clarity that is really incumbent upon us at times where we're discussing such things. We need to keep our wits about us. And when it says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, because we've been in a long run of feminism, many times this word makes a lady bristle. And it ought not. Because verse 17 does say, whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the Lord, not to the man. It doesn't have anything to do with him. He's just the details. I've often told ladies, listen, he's not your problem. He's your project. Isn't that true? It is. You got to learn how to walk them off the ledge. You got to learn how to bring them back around. Because men have many times a tendency to be very, very clueless when it comes to relationships. Now, go back with me in your mind's eye to days of yore. before feminism and before birth control, women needed men more. Men are in crisis more than ever before because women can get the job before the man can get the job. They're telling us now that more women graduate from university than men do. So men are now intimidated. Not only are women more articulate many times than men because they have more words and they have more worries. They have more words and they have more worries. They're more articulate. It almost seems as if the guy isn't all that smart, when in reality, God has made men a certain way and women a certain way. And it must be remembered back to our hearts that the truth of the matter is that in the beginning, God made them male and female. He made men like they are, and He made women like they are. Women love the fact that men love to look at them, and women love the fact that they're being looked at. These are things that are worked into the fabric. Women love to be seen. And what we have in our generation is men love to look, and everything's gone off the rails. And so, men are subjected to women who are walking around in their world nearly unclothed. Is that not true? And get this. I have young men complaining to me who don't even go to church about the way the women are dressing in our day. Now, when it says wives submit, you have to recognize that if you don't have the right perspective, you can't protect your man. If you don't see what they're up against because they love to look and the women are willing to show, you have to realize that if you allow yourself to hate on them, it's not going to work for you. You're going to have to learn how to help them with what they're up against. One of the biggest dangers you'll see littered throughout the scriptures is that men fall because of women. Isn't that true? Think about it. You got Adam and Eve right out of the gate. He knew what he was doing. She wanted to be like God, and she was deceived, and the Bible says he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. The Moabitish women went in and subverted the Israelites, brought God's judgment on them by going in and throwing themselves at the feet of the Israelites. What were they thinking? You know, you've got a whole community of men in Israel coming into the Promised Land, getting ready to do a conquest. The Moabitish women go in and they offer themselves completely to the men, and the whole nation goes headlong into this sin. What is that? Don't you have any brothers saying to brother, knock it off? You know, they're just all falling at the feet of the women. And what I'm trying to show you is when it says, wives, submit, don't let it make you bristle. Let it make you realize, I have to think about why God said this. Why did God say this? And it's because there's a lot of danger out there. If you read the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, 6, and 7, it talks about the strange woman, the whorish woman. The Bible talks about going after strange flesh. And in our day, it is celebrated. When a marriage is entered into, many times the woman gets married and she thinks it's a really big deal. It's always lovely to have a wedding. But when women are there, women come down the aisle many times thinking it's just beginning. Men go down the aisle thinking, it's over, I'm good, I got my wife. The men are thinking, it's over, and I've done what I need to do, and the women are thinking, it's just begun, and really, they think it's a big deal. But after a few months, the woman goes from thinking it's a big deal to thinking, man, this is an ordeal. What am I got? Man, what is this? And so she's thinking all of a sudden, you know, this is a raw deal. Well, then they begin to think, well, maybe I could get me a new deal. And America's gotten to the place where, because of the out-of-control balance in society, women now have all the power. And that's making men, again, feel like they're in crisis. Education, the legal system, men many times are afraid that their wives might take everything they have because the woman has the power. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.